about a good bit this morning in the service. And of course, that is Joseph. And so I was hoping he didn't get too involved on the life of Joseph. But obviously, even if we came to church and heard the same service sermon every time, obviously something new could happen. The Holy Spirit can still talk. Same thing. I completed my Bible reading this year. I got one more day in my Bible reading plan, and I'll read through the whole Bible this year. And I got some stuff this year that I didn't get last year. And so we know what the Lord has for us. Everything is new. Of course, we know that mercies are new every single morning. The Holy Spirit can make different things jump off the page at you. Just keep reading. Just keep learning. Keep growing as a Christian. I just want to encourage you to do that. We're going to be in Genesis chapter number 37. Of course, we already mentioned this is Joseph. He was the 11th child of Jacob. First, though, of his favored wife, Rachel. And so there was a lot of things that Joseph had working for him, some good things. But because of those things working for him, his brothers didn't really care for it. And we know he was pretty much hated by his brothers. Right before we start reading, in verse number 2, it talks about how Joseph brought an evil report of his brothers to his father. I think all of us that have siblings know a little bit what that's about. Mom and Dad, you'll never know what they did. Let me tell you. We, of course, call that tattletaling. We have that with our children. I did that to my brother. He did it to me. I think we all know what that is. But we see here Joseph is coming and telling his father. I don't know if he was just trying to really help his brothers, or maybe he was just trying to get him in trouble because he could. He knew he was Jacob's favorite. Regardless, it kind of brings us up to where we are with Joseph. We know he was using a mighty way in his life. He had those ups and downs, of course, of great magnitude. But that brings us to our text. Genesis chapter number 37, verse number 3, we'll begin reading. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. We mentioned earlier, Joseph is often referred to as a dreamer. Obviously, we all have dreams. I believe each of us could probably stand and give testimony of dreams that God has given us, or dreams we had when we were a child. It seems like every year you ask a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it's something different. Sometimes it's something crazy. Sometimes it's something good that they'd want to be when they grow up. But all of us have dreams. Every single person in this room, whether it be selfish dreams or God-given dreams, we all have them. But many times in our life, our dreams are crushed. Our dreams die. Our dreams seem to fizzle out. Everything in this world, everything in our lives seems to be going opposite the dreams maybe that God had given us. God could have called you to do something specific for Him. God could have told you you were going to do something specific for Him. And it seems like everything in your life is counterproductive. Everything in your life is going the opposite direction of that dream God has given you. So tonight we'll talk about that subject, when your dreams are crushed. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to stand and preach the Word of God. Lord, thank You so much for coming for us as we've celebrated this season, being born in a manger, living a sinless life, and dying upon the cross of Calvary. Lord, thank You for the free gift of salvation. Lord, thank You for the Holy Spirit that we heard about in the song. Thank You for not leaving us the way that You found us and changing us and making us more like You. Lord, help us to be receptive to the changes that You want to bring in our lives once we are saved. Lord, we pray that we, as we open the Word of God this evening, Lord, we pray that You bless the reading of Your Word of God. We pray that You bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Lord, I pray You fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, use me in a mighty way this evening, not again to draw a recognition to me, But Lord, that we all may be able to leave here saying, Lord, what a Savior. Lord, we know in our life we're going to have dreams and things that will be crushed. Lord, I pray that You help us as we look at the life of Joseph, that we may acknowledge some things that we are supposed to do as a Christian. I pray for each and every person in this room. Lord, help them not to hear me and my words, but to hear You and Your message. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. When your dreams are crushed, a couple things about Joseph, of course. I believe these dreams were God-given. God gave him these dreams at a very early age. But we see the outcome of these dreams a long time later. Some people believe it was about 22 years later after he dreamed this dream that he was standing in Egypt. That's a long time to wait and a lot of things to go through that we will talk about this evening. I believe his dreams were God-given, but I also believe his dreams were God-driven. It was something he allowed God to do in his life. He allowed God to use him in a mighty way, and he never got a big head. He never became prideful in these areas. And I believe that God had given Joseph abilities that he probably could have been prideful about. And many times God gives us talents. He gives us gifts. He gives us ways to serve Him. And a lot of times we as Christians, we take those things, and at first we're thankful. At first we acknowledge God. But then we start to think it's our doing. It's our power. It's our ability that God has given us. And we fail to acknowledge that God is the one who has put us in those positions. And we see that Joseph, I don't believe, did that. We don't need to force our own fleshly and selfish dreams on what we ask of God. I believe this happens more in lives of people that were like me that grew up in church. We got saved at an early age, and that's all we ever knew. And as we grow up, we start looking out into the world. We start acknowledging some things that we like. My dad talked about sports this morning. I loved basketball. I loved those things. And we start as young Christians thinking, well, maybe God will allow me to do those things. And if He does allow you to do some of the things you wanted to do and aspire to do it as a youth, that's great. But we need to be careful that we aren't forcing our dreams on what God wants us to do. We need to acknowledge, God, are You allowing me to do this? God, do You want me to do this? Everything needs to be, every decision we make needs to be acknowledging who God is, if it's going to bring Him glory and all of those things that we heard this morning. We need to make sure our dreams line up with God's will. We need to make sure our goals, our aspirations, everything that we desire to be as a Christian, we need to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Every Christian should have goals, and we should always be striving for something better. If you read through the Word of God this year, praise the Lord. Try to give a little bit more time to study next year. Keep going with that Bible reading. Keep doing those things, but add a little bit more. If you say, I've never read the Bible the entire way through, this year is a great year to start. There's so many different plans and different things that you can do to grow as a Christian. We all have these New Year's resolutions. I know I have some. We have those different New Year's resolutions every day. Those are dreams. Those are goals. Those are things that we want to do, but oftentimes we fall flat on our face when we try to do it in our own power. Oftentimes, we do have those dreams that are crushed. A few things to notice from Joseph's situation before we get to the outline. From this story, your dreams will cause a reaction. Whether it be good or bad, they will cause a reaction. If you are vocal about your dreams, they will cause a reaction. Most of the time, if it's a godly dream, if it's a God-given dream, something that God wants you to do and you tell others, most of the time, it's not a good reaction. And that's sometimes because of jealousy. Sometimes it's because of hatred. Sometimes it's because of conviction. Because you're coming before somebody and say, hey, God wants me to do this. And they just lash out, oh, you'll never be able to do that. And you think, why in the world would they be so discouraging about my dream for God, not knowing the entire time that God had given them a dream at one time and they never fulfilled it. They never followed through with the call that God had placed on their life. Don't allow other people to throw water on your fire. Don't allow other people to discourage you when they react in a poor way. Joseph could have, of course, could have taken that and said, well, never mind, that's just me being silly. That's just me thinking of some things that I shouldn't have. But most won't understand the dream that you have. They will try to explain all of the ways that their brain doesn't comprehend it. When you have a specific dream that God has given you, all right, you are very capable of figuring out things and reasons why it can't happen. But it's amazing how good other people are at telling you that your dreams aren't possible. At telling you your goals, you're never going to fulfill that. Maybe they have evidence of a past life that you've lived. Maybe they have things and patterns that you've placed. But you say, no, this year I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to fulfill the calling that God has placed on my life. Whatever it might be, Don't allow other people to bring you down. Don't allow other people to discourage you. If God has given you that dream, follow through with it. Again, it may not happen right away. We'll see that as we look at the life of Joseph tonight. I believe Joseph was a type of Christ, a prefiguration of Christ, a picture of Christ. That doesn't mean he was perfect like Jesus. That doesn't mean he was perfect. But there was a lot of things in his life that pointed to Jesus, that pointed, and we'll talk about a couple of those tonight. But when Christ told the Jews that he was the answer, they didn't like that. If you don't know, the Jewish people still don't celebrate Christmas. They don't believe that the Messiah has come. Jesus said, "I am the Son of God." He didn't really even have to say it. Just the workings that he did in his life, the miracles, the things, all of the followers that he had, the Jews, they rejected him. Why? Because they were comfortable in the law. They were thinking, this law is what's sending me to heaven. I'm perfect. I don't have to. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. I'm already giving sacrifices to God to pay for those. But Jesus was there to fulfill the prophecy, and they rejected it. They weren't comfortable with acknowledging that their life had to change a little bit. When God gives you a dream, your life may have to change to fulfill that. You may have to change some things that you are doing that you shouldn't do anymore. Maybe not even sinful things. Maybe they're just weights to keep you from those dreams that God has given you. But when you get a bad reaction to your dream, ask yourself this: who does my dream bring honor to? Does it bring honor to God? Does it bring honor to my family? Does it bring honor to myself? Of course, we need it to bring honor to God as a Christian. We need to make sure our goals and our dreams align with His will. We'll jump into the outline this evening. We'll look at four things that we need to stay consistent in order to please God through those heartbreaks, through the times when our dreams are crushed. Number one, we see, stay close to God. Stay close to God. Turn over to Genesis chapter number 39. We already talked about how Joseph's brothers had conspired against him. They sold him into slavery. They had thrown him in a pit. They wanted to kill him. One brother said, "No, let's not kill him." And then we know those slave traders happened by and they sold him, told Jacob that he was dead, even killed an animal, put blood on his garment, and said he's gone. And they conspired against him in this moment of difficult times. Again, Joseph, all he knew that there was something that God had given to him in a dream. What would make sense to me is Joseph just living there at home, everyone turning to him for all of the answers. "Joseph, what do we do in this situation?" That would make the most sense to us in our human minds. The first step in God fulfilling the dreams that he had given Joseph, of course, I dare say, was not, "I'm going to be sold into slavery. I'm going to be removed and ripped from my family. Everything that I'm comfortable with, everything that I'm used to is gone." That's the first step in God fulfilling my dream. Of course, we know that it was. But Joseph, I'm sure, did not understand it when it was happening. What was his response? That we see in Genesis chapter number 39, verse number 1. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." He was a prosperous man. "And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand." We see that phrase, "the Lord was with him." I don't know about you, but I would completely understand, just humanly speaking, if God gave Joseph a dream, and regardless of how long it was until after that, that his brothers conspired, they sold him into slavery. "My life is done. My life is over. What's worth living for? Why would I continue to fellowship with God? God gave me this dream, and then this happens?" We get so caught up in our mind, but we see that statement there, "the Lord was with him." All right? The Lord is not going to force himself on any of us. God is not going to force us to have a relationship with him. That was Joseph allowing God to be close to him. God wants to be close to you tonight. God wants to you to acknowledge that you need him each and every single day that you wake up. That alarm clock goes off. You have the difficulties that you must face. You go to work. You do all of the things that all of us are expected to do. God wants to be close to you in those times. Stay close to God. We see Joseph had literally been sold by his brothers, had no say where he went or what he did, yet he stayed close to God, who had given him those dreams. It would have been easy to give up on his dreams, but I believe if he would have been willing to have new dreams had God seen fit. I think so many times we just need to be willing as a Christian. Be willing. That word, of course, we talk about God's will, God's will, God's will, how to find God's will, stay in the Word of God, all of these kinds of things. But as a Christian, we need to understand God's will is just us need to be, we just need to be willing to do what He wants us to do. Willing to go here, willing to witness to this person if He lays it on our heart, willing to give this in our tithes and offerings, willing to do these kinds of things, willing to give this up, to say, no, I'm going to spend more time with God, I'm going to do these things. We need to be willing to be living for God. He was so close to God that it was obvious to those around Him. To others around you, it doesn't have to just be in church. Obviously, it's easier to acknowledge when someone is close to God in church because we're in tune with God as well. We see God working in their life. We see God using them in a mighty way because we're all children of God. We fellowship each week and week out with each other. We come in here, that's somebody that's close to God. But what about the people at work? What about the people at the grocery store? What about the people in traffic? What about the people in all these different situations? Do they acknowledge that's somebody that's close to God? That person is different. That person has something about them that I just don't understand. Are we living a good testimony in these times where our hearts are broken? What is usually your response when your heart is broken? I believe there's usually three different responses as a Christian. First of all, you can forsake God. You can say, God, You've broken my heart. You've allowed this to happen. How dare You do that? And of course, we thumb our nose at God. We talk to Him so disrespectfully sometimes. God, how could You allow this to happen? Instead of, God, teach me in these moments. God, use this to draw me closer to You. I believe sometimes we forsake God. Sometimes I believe we have to find God. We've not been living a certain way. We've not been living the right way. We've not been living close to God. And something happens, and in that moment we realize, uh-oh, I need to find Him. I need to get back in fellowship with Him. Or are you able to continue fellowshipping with God? You might not have forsaken Him. You don't have to find Him. You're just there and you continue fellowshipping with Him. I believe those are the three reactions a lot of time people have responses when they're heartbroken. When we stay close to God, He brings blessings even in the hard situations. Joseph, of course, was a slave. And we think, oh wow, he's been put second in command of Potiphar's house. He was still not his own person. He was owned by another man. He was told to do each and everything. Of course, we see God used him in this. God was stayed close with him. God did all of those things for Joseph. He blessed him in these moments. But it still wasn't an ideal situation. It was still a difficult situation that he looked no closer to fulfilling the dreams that God had given with him. So first of all, we see stay close to God. This was mentioned this morning, but if we continue reading in just a little bit, we see number two, Joseph stayed right with God. He stayed right with Him. His master's wife tried to tempt Joseph to do something, of course, he was not supposed to do. In verse number 7, we'll read, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake unto Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Of course, he knew it would be wrong against his master, but we saw there in this passage, he acknowledged that it would be a sin against God. It would be a sin against his Creator, the one that he was striving to stay close with. I believe that's how the Lord was so close to him, because he didn't allow these things into his life. He didn't allow these things. And again, this is something that, of course, not everybody is going to be put in this situation, but we're all going to have things we have to flee from. We all have things in our life we need to reject, and we need to acknowledge that we do not need these things in our life. He knew it would be wrong against God. It's not just against his master. It's not just against our friends when we sin. It's not just against those in our life. It is against God. That is the thing we need to understand as a Christian. We may hurt other folks, but who are we hurting the most? We are hurting our Savior. We are hurting the one who came and died for us on the cross to give us that salvation. He knew he didn't even need to stay around her. He fled. Many times as Christians, we get our feelings hurt by God because he's not let our dreams happen when we think they should happen, so out of spite, we choose to sin against Him. I've seen that happen so many times. Christians get bitter. Christians get to a point when God still hasn't allowed me to do what He's called me to do, or God still hasn't followed through on Him saying in the Bible that He would bless me and He would take care of me. God, and we, of course, He is taking care of us even when we don't acknowledge that He is, when we don't understand that He is. But oftentimes, we mistake God's timing in answering prayers as unfaithfulness. We think, God, You have not answered my prayer when I think You should have, so You're being unfaithful. And that's not what it is. God's timing is just as important as God's will. We need to understand, as Christians, it's not always going to make sense to us when God answers that prayer, but it doesn't mean He's being unfaithful to us. It doesn't mean that He doesn't love us anymore because He's not showing it like we think He should. We put God in a box so many times and we think God is going to react this way. God's going to do this because I did this. God's going to follow through because I asked Him this many times in a day. But we need to understand God is not being unfaithful when His timing isn't what we think it should be. Your job as a Christian is to be available to do whatever the Lord wants you to do at the exact moment He wants you to do it. I believe so many times Christians are passed over and looked over by God because they're not living how they're supposed to when God wants them to do something. You think of somebody that's been called to preach, somebody that acknowledges, God, I'm going to live for You. God, You've called me to preach, I want to do this. And yet, instead of looking for somewhere to serve in the church or looking for somewhere to go, whether it be a nursing home or a bus route or something else, God, just give me a place to do it, they become stagnant. They say, God will use me eventually. And we think we don't have to be preparing. We think we don't have to be being used. That can go for any number of situations. God wants you to do certain things, and we forget we still need to be learning each and every day. Just because God calls us to do something, just because God impresses upon our heart to do something, doesn't mean we don't have work to do until He wants us to do it. God wants you to continue growing. You say, God, I'm surrendering to do whatever You want me to do. You still have a lot of work to do. That doesn't mean that you're going to be just the perfect Christian, the perfect available person as soon as God wants you to do it and you can just exist where you are. We need to understand, as Christians, we need to continue growing. We need to continue growing closer to God with each and every day that we live. Be available to God. There are many things in life in which I believe that we can get ahead of God. My dad told me so many times that he had heard so many times not to rush the washing machine. Don't get ahead of God. Don't think, if God, You want me to do this, then I'll do those things. Of course, I teach each and every week to our young people at our church in Sunday school, and I talk to them often about education. I talk to them, you need to be planning for the future. Are you going to go to college when you graduate high school? Are you going to do those things? And so many times I've seen young people, they dual enrollment, and they do all of these things, and it's like they lose their life because they're trying to have so many credits before high school is done and all those kinds of things. There's nothing wrong with preparing. There's nothing wrong with doing those things. But we need to make sure that we are doing balanced. We need to live a balanced life. We don't need to say, I'm going to give 24/7 to my education and forget about going to church. Forget those things because this is my goal. All of these things. We don't need to rush and get ahead of God in our education, our career. I've seen so many times where somebody is in a career, they're in a job, and they get an opportunity, but it would move me out of state. It would move me away from my church. It would move me to a place that doesn't really have a church, and they move their family, and they do all of these things because they're wanting to do those, and they don't see the effects that are going to happen because they take those. When if they would have just waited 6 months, if they would have just waited a year or two, God would have given them that same opportunity right where they are. We need to understand that God's timing and God's place, God's will, is more important than what we think. And of course, I tell the young people, don't get ahead of God when it comes to your spouse. Don't get ahead of God when it comes to things that are good, things that will happen one day, things that you know are going to happen, but we often get ahead of God and try to work things out on our own instead of just being patient. I believe Joseph had to be what this verse in Psalm said, be still and know. Be still and know that He is God. I think that was one of my least favorite things to do as a teenager. As a kid, I hated being still, period. But as a teenager, I hated waiting on God. I hated I wanted God to just tell me when it was going to be over. I wanted God to tell me when I was going to have to stop hurting, when I was going to have to stop going through this, when He was going to fulfill what I wanted, what I was praying for. I hated waiting on God, and I had to get to the point. I just needed to trust Him. I just needed to trust that God will fulfill what He said He's going to do when He wants to fulfill it. He's had to stay right with God when his dreams were crushed. Number three, stay working for God. Stay working for God. We'll be in Genesis 39 as well in just a minute. But we see in the aftermath with Potiphar's wife, she falsely accused him to cover anything Joseph could have said. When someone talks about you, it's usually because they're trying to mask something that they are ashamed of. There's a little free lesson there for you. But Genesis 39, verse number 20, Joseph, master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, we see that again, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph had gone from being the favorite son to being a slave, then from a slave to the highest ranking servant in a prominent leader's house, then to the highest ranking servant to a wrongfully accused prisoner. But even in prison, Joseph stayed close to God. He stayed right with God. And we see he continued to work for God in these moments. No one would have blamed Joseph, I believe, for merely just existing at this point. So many times we see, man, they've gone through so much. They've fought cancer. They've had somebody forsake them. They've had loved ones die, all these kinds of things. And we think it's okay if they just were to walk into church and just exist on a pew. And we think, man, they're just, at least they're here. They're doing their best. But think of it in your own sense. Are we really doing our best? All right, and of course, I'm not saying they shouldn't take time to grieve. I'm not saying those things. But if we just exist as a Christian, and instead of serve as a Christian, instead of give out what God gives to us, that's really where we'll find fulfillment. That's where we'll find joy, is if we stay active in the work of God and we keep doing what we can for God. You say, I'm only able to do a little bit. Do what you can. Pray for others. If that's all you're able to do is just lift somebody else up in prayer, do that. Just, we need to be working for God in every situation. We need to make sure we are giving God our best. Even though we're struggling, even though we're hurt, even though we're battered down, even though we are hurt by this world, we need to continue to stay working for God in those hard times. That's not an easy thing to do. It's easy to wake up, your life is great, everything's going right, and you say, God, what are we going to do today? But every time you wake up in the morning and you're reminded once again, as soon as your eyes open, man, I'm facing this struggle. I'm facing this trial. I'm facing this. And it's all we can think about. It's all we can focus on. Even in those moments, we need to stay working for God, because He's going to help us through those times. He continued working for God and putting himself in a position to be blessed by God. Don't allow your doubt to convince you to stop. Why would God allow me to go through this when He has given me this dream, we often ask. But I believe He served time for something He did not do. That's very clear. He served time in prison for something He did not do. There's another picture of Christ. You think of Jesus. He didn't deserve to die on the cross. He didn't deserve to face all that He did leading up to the cross. Yet He did for us. And so we see that Joseph had to do the same thing. God used him to help others, especially the butler, of course, in interpreting his dream that he would be restored to his early position for Pharaoh. And we see in that story, he asked him, look, just remember me. When you're restored, God has allowed me to interpret this dream. Just remember me. Of course, we see that seemingly he was forgotten. It wasn't until 2 years later that he was finally remembered and brought to Pharaoh's attention for a dream he had. So number four, I believe, the thing we need to do after staying close to God, staying right with God, stay working for God, we see number four, he stayed faithful to God. Faithful to God. Genesis 41, the Bible says in verse number 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard a say of thee, that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Even after facing everything that God allowed him to go through, he was still faithful to God. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. That means delayed. That means it's not coming right now. But we see the end of the verse, but when the desire cometh, It is a tree of life. Oftentimes, I believe, as Christians, we get so sick of waiting on God, and we get almost annoyed. Man, I don't understand this. Why am I having to face this frustration in my life? And then we look back at all the things that we have done. We look back at all the things that we've conquered. This world, it has so many false teachings about following your heart and doing those things. But it tries to reassure us as humans. This world wants to tell us that everything that we've done, everything that we have accomplished is because of us. And it's not. It's every breath that we breathe is given by God. Every ounce of strength that we have, God gave it to you. Everything that you wear, everything you eat, all of that is given you by God. There's no such thing as a self-made man. And in this moment, where Joseph could have said, yeah, I interpreted his dream, I did this, we see that statement, it is not in me. He stayed faithful to God. When finally he was called before Pharaoh, he was faithful enough to be in a position, though, where he knew he could be used by God, for God to give the interpretation of the dream. If Joseph had spent these 2 years after being forgotten by this butler, after being forgotten, if Joseph had spent those 2 years just being bitter, spent those 2 years just not taking time to fellowship and staying close with God, and then all of a sudden he was brought into Pharaoh's attention, he was brought into the presence of Pharaoh. I have a dream that I've been told you can interpret it. Joseph knew in that moment, he'd stayed close with God, he was close enough to God at that moment, that God would give the increase. God would give the interpretation. If you are in those moments where your dreams are crushed and in those hard times, are we staying close enough to God? When all of a sudden, everything, the clouds clear, that we can say confidently, God's going to do this for me. Are we in those moments? Are we staying faithful to Him in spite of all that's happening around us? Joseph, of course, could have gotten the attitude, God has allowed me to go through so much. Everything I do is in my own power. Everything I do is because of me. Many times after our dreams are crushed, we give up on God and we become bitter. Instead of waiting on God to make it better, instead of waiting on God to improve our situation, we get so bitter at others. We get so bitter at God. Joseph knew the dreams he had when he was a child, but God allowed him to go through so much adversity before realizing that this is the way that God had chosen to do this. Look with me at one verse in Genesis 41. Genesis 41, verse number 38. The Bible says, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" What a testimony of Joseph. Pharaoh could have said, is not this the one that Potiphar had thrown in prison because he was accused of trying to take Potiphar's wife? Is not this the one that came just out of slavery? Is not this the one that has had all of these problems? If he was allowed to go through all of that, why should we trust him? If he was allowed to go, if that's what his life is, why would we continue to trust him? But Pharaoh said, look, we can't find another person who the Spirit of God is in him like Joseph. What a testimony. Someone who perhaps, some people believe he was in prison for up to 10 years. But don't allow your surroundings to dictate how close you are to God. Don't allow it to dictate how close you are to God. When your dreams have been crushed, are you staying close to God? Are you staying right with Him? Are you staying working for Him? Are you staying faithful with Him? A lot of times people say, my life looks completely different than I thought it would be at this point. My life looks nothing like the dreams that I had when I was a child. And we think, man, I'm never going to amount for anything. And that's not true. We don't need to allow ourselves to think like that. It may be different, but we need to understand, if we've lived faithful to God, if we've allowed God to work, if we've allowed Him to lead, and we're in difficult situations, just keep trusting Him. He'll bring you through it. It may seem like your dreams will never be able to take shape, but you have to remember that God's will is greater than anything we can imagine. We've all heard the stories of the missionaries dying on the mission field. It doesn't sound fun, as just to be blunt. I don't think anybody really could say they enjoyed that. But I believe standing before God, perhaps with their entire family, that martyred their lives to try to give people the gospel on a foreign mission field, I believe they could say it was worth everything because that's what God wanted me to do. I know I've heard testimonies and read testimonies of people that have lost loved ones because of that, or all of these different testimonies of old time missionaries and Christians and things. And if you don't do reading on those things, you need to. But all of these things, even in the stories in the Bible, I don't know if I could go through what Joseph went through and be just as faithful as he could. We think that all the time. I don't know, just as Job was mentioned this morning, all of the things he went through. But the thing is, we need to understand, we have the same God that they do. We could say we have a little bit more than they do. We have the Holy Spirit now. Jesus didn't leave us alone. He sent us a Comforter. We have the entire Word of God. They didn't have everything that we do as Christians. Just because we go through some things that may be difficult, difficult to understand, doesn't mean we need to forsake God. Doesn't mean we need to be bitter towards Him. The route to fulfilled dreams might not be what we expect, but God's result will always be the best. It may not get you to the point where you understand, God, I know exactly why You're doing this. There may be some things you never understand. I can look back at my life and some things I went through as a teenager and have a pretty good idea of why God allowed me to go through some of those things. In the moment, I didn't. And there's some things I still don't understand. There's some things that I've had to face, or my family's had to face, or other things that other people that I know, God, why did You allow them to go through that? God has a reason. But if we stay faithful to Him, we stay working for Him, close to Him, and right with God, that's when we're able to come out of those storms. That's when we're able to come out of those difficult situations. And standing on the other side, your dream has been fulfilled. That thing that God has placed in your mind, placed in your heart for a very long time. Maybe there might be some things that we're never able to fulfill that we wish we could do for God. God has placed burdens on my heart that I don't know if He'll ever allow me to do them. And that's okay, because I need to be faithful in what God has given me to do. We all need to get to that point. When our dreams are crushed, again, this isn't a fun message. There's some messages that are just fun to preach. Just acknowledging who God is, what He's done for us. But in these moments, no one likes to understand, no one likes to realize, no one likes to accept the fact that life's not going to be easy. Life is going to be difficult. Again, we talked about those New Year's resolutions. There's some things that you probably have on that list, if you've made some, that are probably difficult things to do. There's some things that maybe are just a little bit out of our hands, out of our reach. We need to understand what God allows in our life is for a reason. And we need to stay faithful to Him, stay close to Him, stay right with Him, and stay working for Him. Just do what you can. In those moments when your dreams are crushed, when your dreams are going to be difficult to fulfill, just allow God to keep working and do what you can do. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Lord, thank You for the testimony of Joseph. Lord, even Pharaoh said they couldn't find another person like him. Lord, I pray that You just help us to get to a point as Christians, not to bring glory to us, but Lord, to bring glory to the fact that even in hard times, we can stay faithful to You. We can still work for You because, Lord, You can sustain us. Lord, You can provide for us. You can protect us in all of these things that we have to face. Lord, help us as Christians to do exactly what we're supposed to do and allow You to do what You're going to do. Lord, thank You for this truth. Well, thank You for what You do in this evening. In Jesus' name.
Let's all stand. If the Lord spoke to your heart, obviously we've all had dreams. All had circumstances, and it's the Lord, and He gave us obviously a biblical way to handle it all. I watched Him handle that in His life, and I'm thankful that God taught Him that, and He was just trying to share that with us, because all of us have dreams, all of us have had things that we've had to deal with. So if the Lord spoke to your heart, the altar is open. Brother Derek's going to lead us in the invitation. The altar is open if you'd like to come pray. Thank God, or ask God to help.